Musicians, God bless you. Praise His wonderful name. Nice to be back together with you again tonight. What a privilege it is. What an honor it is. Another day to serve the Lord. Another opportunity to gain more character, to learn more of the Lord's ways, and to see the devil's defeat. Lots of prayer requests this week, and of course, where there's lots of prayer requests, there'll be lots of prayers answered. So we certainly, our hearts go out to each and every one who's had needs brought. Our brother, Brother Leo, thank you. Our brother Leo Van Ard suffered a heart attack, and then they went and did some, what they call, I think it's heart catheterization. I call it Roto-Rooter. They go in there and try and clean some things out. And I think he had a stent put in maybe 10 years ago or so. Now it looks like there's some major work that needs to be done. So he's scheduled to have heart surgery this week. So certainly want to keep that before the Lord. And but we thank the Lord for sparing him and to keeping him. You know, the devil might lie to some people sometimes, and he's a good liar. Yeah. He can be pretty convincing sometimes, and he'll tell people that nobody cares and that you have needs and nobody prays for it. But I don't know of needs, if you're making your request known. See, there is an active part to this. We're not mind readers, right? If you're making your request known, as far as I know, everything's being brought before the body, and it's certainly our desire, each and every one. And I know we all agree on that. So, don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let him whisper in your ear and say nobody cares. We all care. Amen. We're in this together. We'll finish this together. Hebrews chapter 6, and we'll start at the 16th verse. Just a reminder that we will continue the Bible study on Friday night at 7 o'clock, and our goal is to try to stay within about an hour time frame and as best we can, and leave as much time for questions during that period as we can as well. There's no new reading assignment because the reading assignment was pages 1 through 28, and we might have made it through, page 9. So I don't know that we'll finish it on Friday either, because there's like three topics that were in the first 28 pages, and we covered one of them. So, just come prepared. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 16. For verily men swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. You know, you get somebody to say, "Do you swear?" And they say, "I swear." "Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God, I swear." Okay, that's the end. That's your confirmation. That's the end of all strife. We'll just take you at your word. You swore. Wherein God more abundantly to show unto his heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. He confirmed it by an oath. He said, "I swear. And I swear by none greater." There's none greater than I can swear. I swear by myself. "That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that's set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, our Lord Jesus Christ, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Again, from Hebrews, the fourth chapter, we'll read verses 9 through 11. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. May the Lord add his blessing to reading the word. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, as we stand before you this evening, Lord, we bring no good works. We humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. We're looking to you, Lord. We're helpless without you. There's none good. There's no flesh that will glory in your presence. There's none of us that claim to be good here tonight, or pretty good, or needing improvement. We're trusting in you tonight, Lord, from the pulpit to the back door. We ask you to forgive us, Lord, of our slowness of heart, our failures at times, Lord. And we know that you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, or we wouldn't ask for that, Lord. Father, we always remember what manner of a man that we once were. Not to dwell on it, but we don't want to be lifted up in ourselves. We want to recognize that it's the mighty hand of Jehovah every step of the way. We're looking to you tonight, Lord, and we're trusting in you. And we're, Lord, you're our guide, you're our healer, our deliverer. You're our all in all. Everything that we have need of is in you, and we're trusting in you tonight, Lord. Bless each and every one. Be with those that are out sick, Lord, that are not able to be here with us, and those that are listening in, those that are here, Lord, and we give you all praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I want to title the thought this evening, "The Anchor Holds." There is an anchor in that inner veil, and that anchor holds. How many can say amen to that tonight? Amen. I'm counting on it, friends. I'm so thankful tonight, friends, that there is a rest that he's provided for us, and it is a true rest. It is a true peace. And there's a heavenly manna that is fresh that we can partake of and feed upon each and every day. And I'm thankful that there's a place that Christians can go to, and they can be hid away in God, to the place where Satan can't even find him. And I don't mean sort of or figuratively. I mean Satan can't find you. A place that's hidden from the world, a place that's hidden from religion, a place that's hidden from the storms of this life, a place that's hidden from whatever comes our way. And it's our refuge. How many can say amen? Amen. It's our secret place. It's the place where there's only one voice. In there's not a multitude of voices. There's one voice. And there's one light. And in that place is the living word. And in that place is the Shekinah glory. In that place is the presence of Jehovah. In that place is hidden manna that never gets old. It never gets stale. And it never runs out. It runs on and on and on. It'll satisfy. It'll meet every need. Somebody say praise the Lord. In that place, friends, is the rapture. In that place, if I could put it to you this way, in that place is the rapture that takes place before the rapture. Because you see, it's a place that's hidden from the world. And it's a place that's hidden from the kingdom of Satan. We are in Satan's Eden, but there's a part of us that isn't. There's a part of us that's hidden away in Christ. And because of that, friends, there's a place of peace, there's a place of rest, there's a place of joy, there's a place of faith, there's a place of hope, of healing, of deliverance, fellowship, instruction, encouragement. And the rapture takes place in our body when we are born of the Holy Spirit, when we enter into our rest. There's a rapture of your soul that has already taken place. Because you're hidden away. It's a secret catching away. And you're in the presence of Jehovah. You're taken into a secret place. And then there's another rapture that will follow. And it will also take us into a hidden place. This one will be a physical place. We will be gathered together physically with all of the other ones that have been hidden from the world that have been hidden in him. And guess what? A lot of them have been hidden from us too. But no longer. And we will be gathered together physically with them and with our Lord Jesus. But friends, the one that you are hidden in tonight, the one that you are hid away in tonight, is the same one that you're going to meet in the air. Amen. It's not a different one. And you can say tonight, the rapture is in me. And the reason why you can say that the rapture is in you is because a part of you is already raptured. You're waiting for the complete change, the redemption of the body. So in our reading from the book of Exodus here tonight, we see that Moses, we're familiar with this scripture, no doubt. We see that Moses instructed Aaron to take a pot and to fill it with some of the manna that had fallen from heaven. Did I leave that out? No, I read it. Okay, just checking. He told Aaron to take a pot, fill it with some of the manna that had fallen from heaven, and this manna was to be taken past the outer court of the tabernacle and into the inner court and into and then finally to be taken behind the veil where it would be kept in a most holy place. I didn't read this, did I? Okay. No wonder we were all confused. I came to the end of my scripture, but I was going to read this after we prayed. Okay. All right. Help us, Lord. Exodus chapter 16, verse 32. Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord commandeth. Fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt." And Moses said unto Aaron, "Take a pot, and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it before the Lord to be kept for your generations." So that's behind the veil, of course. And as the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land that was to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. So we see here that Moses was instructed by God, and then Moses instructed Aaron to take this pot, fill it with manna that had fallen on the ground, that had come from heaven. And the manna was to be taken through the outer court of the tabernacle, through the inner court of the tabernacle, and finally it was to be taken behind the veil where it would be kept in the most holy place. And the manna in there would never grow old, it would never grow stale, and it would never run out. And it was this manna that the high priest would bring out to sustain the children of Israel until they reached the promised land, which we know was about 40 years later. And this very same manna that it began to fall from heaven a short time after Israel entered into the wilderness, and they cried out for food. They said that we have nothing to eat, and they cried out for food to eat during their journey. And so God caused this angel food, as we hear it termed sometimes. He caused this manna to fall from heaven, which is a shadow of Christ, the bread of life, which would later also come down from heaven to feed the New Testament church. So the Israelites, they were instructed to gather this manna after it fell each morning, and to gather it up and to take it into their tents, to gather up the amount that was needed for the number of inhabitants in your tent. So some would gather more, some would gather less. And what would remain on the ground later on the day, it would either melt or it would go sour. Moses told them, don't leave any on the ground. But they didn't listen to him. And so what was left on the ground the next day, it would begin to stink. And it would begin to rot. And it would make it a challenge if you were going out the next morning to collect new manna. It would make it a challenge because there's some old manna rotting. So now you've got some contaminated stuff and some fresh stuff. Wouldn't it have been easier just to do what the Lord said? Wouldn't it have been easier just to gather it all up? And we know that these Old Testament types are there
to show us what to expect in our day, because it was forerunning something. So it was a preview of things to come. It was a shadow of things to come. So in one part of the type that was laid out for us, we see that God has fresh manna for each and every age throughout the seven church ages. And once each church age comes to its end and another begins, well, the life is now in the manna that's falling for the next age, and the life has left the manna that was there. It's another day. It's another age. And so we know that we cannot live by the word from another age. Now, that's not to denigrate the word from another age, but there's no life in it if there's present truth being brought forth, because the present truth is where the light is, and it's where the life is. So it's not to say that there's something wrong with the word from previous ages, but there's new manna for each age. There's new manna for, friends, there's new manna this year that we weren't eating last year, because there's word to be fulfilled this year. So if we try to live only by the manna from a previous age, well, that's, you're eating dead manna versus living manna. And dead manna won't sustain life. And another type that we find in this is with the manna that was then taken behind the veil into the holiest of holies by the high priest. The manna, once it was in there, it was always fresh. It was always full of life. And there was a never-ending supply. But to partake of it requires going behind the veil. And in the Old Testament type, of course, we know that only the high priest of the Old Testament could go behind that veil. And when he went behind that veil, as he was making his approach to there, and also once he went on the other side, there was a certain approach. He had to do it a certain way. But under a new covenant, friends, a way has been provided to every born-again believer that's baptized in the Holy Ghost. There's a way provided for you yourself to go behind the veil and to be in the presence of Jehovah. And so we know that 2 million started out in this journey, leaving Egypt, traveling on their way to Israel through the wilderness. But we also know that many, many died along the way. And very few from the first generation actually crossed over into the land. And yet, they ate of the same heavenly manna along the way. They all shouted. They all tasted of this good heavenly manna. And they were blessed by it. And they were sustained by that manna. And yet, some were up and down and in and out and on and off in their walk. While others, they were kept and they were sustained in the journey. And they prospered. And they overcame every obstacle that that they had to face along the way. They didn't go backwards, they went forwards. And we also know that the tabernacle itself, and I'm just laying a foundation here for where we're headed, the tabernacle itself is a type of the believer in Christ Jesus. And each of the three rooms of the tabernacle, they also represents the they represent the three realms of man, the physical realm, the spiritual realm, and the soul. So the outer court is the flesh. It represents the flesh. The inner court represents the spirit realm. And of course, the holiest of holies represents the place where your soul is. And these three rooms, they also represent the progression of the work of Christ in the life of a believer when he accepts Jesus Christ as his Savior. When he accepts him and confesses Christ as his Savior, well, when you do that, friends, you're eating of the same manna that everybody else is eating. And we are forgiven of our sins, and we potentially have eternal life, and we're on our way, we're on the road, and we're believing for it, of course. But our experience at that point with the Word is still intellectual. Oh, I'm going to preach tonight. We have an intellectual faith. We have a mental understanding. We've heard the word and we accept it in our minds. We confess it and we do believe in our minds. We do. We're not making short of that. We're not making light of that. We believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior. We believe that he takes away our sins, and we believe that he promises eternal life to those that believe on him. But if we continue walking with him, we will have a progression in our walk, and he will lead us next into the second court. He will lead us into sanctification. We're forgiven of our sins, but now he says, I'm going to clean you up. So it's a type of walking into that second court, and the second court represents church life throughout the church ages. And in the second court, there's a different kind of light that shines than there is in the outer court. In the outer court, if the sun's shining, you're rejoicing. If the sun's down, it's gloomy. If it's cloudy, you experience that. If it's raining, you experience that. You can hear the politics. You can hear the wars. You can hear everything that's happening if you're in the outer court. You go into the inner court, and there's a different kind of light. There's lampstands, and there's Holy Ghost oil that's in the lampstands that's burning. You're protected from a lot of the noise that's taking place on the outside, but you can still hear different things that are happening on the outside. Your fellowship is different. Those that you're walking with is a little different. And your walk is more set aside for the Lord, and it's cleaned up. You're no longer feeding on the things of the world. You're feeding on things in the second court. But that light, even in the second court, that light can go out, and it will need to be relit by another candle. And the lamps can get smoky if you don't trim your wick. And you can still hear some of what's going on the outside, and you can still go out and come in. So when we walk into sanctification, we know that the scripture tells us that God gives us a new spirit. And with that new spirit, now I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about your spirit. God gives you a new spirit, and with that new spirit comes new desires. Your old spirit desired the things of the world. Your new spirit desires the things of heaven, desires the things of church, desires the things of the Lord. And we still feed on the same manna as everyone else. But then the same Holy Spirit calls the believer in Christ to pass behind the badger skins, to come a little further, to come up a little higher. And when we pass through that veil, friends, you're given a new heart, which has a new nature. That old soul, that old nature of that old soul dies, and the new nature of the new soul is quickened. The old nature is passed away, and then the Holy Spirit comes into that new heart, and you are hidden with him behind the veil. Now it's you and him behind the veil. You can't die any more than God can die. You have entered into your rest. Oh, sure, you're going to still struggle just like everybody else through this life. You're still going to be tempted, tried. You're still face battles. But there's a part of you that's resting. You've worked out your salvation with fear and trembling. And he's told you what your name is. You've found your place. You've entered into your rest. You've got peace. You've got joy. You've got a confidence. You've got faith. You've entered into your rest. Your struggles to work out your salvation are over. And those skins are so thick that they deaden all sound from the other realms so that you can only hear his voice. There's no confusion. There's no confusion of voices. And he writes his word upon your heart. And the light that you are now in is like no other light. It's a light that never goes out. And it's a supernatural light. It never grows dim. It never smokes up. And it comes from his presence. Your high priest is there. The blood is there. The manna is there. And when a dead branch, if it were to be, let's say a dead olive branch were to be taken in behind that veil, first thing that would happen is it would begin to give off a sweet aroma. Yet it's a dead branch. And the next thing you know, you'd see life flowing through it because you would see a bud begin to form. And the next thing you know, there would be fruits that are produced. Fruits of the Spirit. Not manufactured fruits, but genuine fruits of the Spirit. And we know, friends, that it is the desire of the Lord to bring every seed behind the veil. To bring every son and daughter of God behind that veil, where they are hidden in Him, hidden in Christ Jesus, and where the anchor holds, as Paul says. Friends, when a person goes all the way with Christ and is born again of His Spirit, that's when the true life of Christ is manifested in human flesh. That's when you begin to see Jesus living out in human flesh once again. And the person that He's living in, that person is sweet. Am I in the right church? 2901 South. That person is sweet. That person has joy. That person is long-suffering. That person is gentle. That person is meek. That person is humble. That person is at rest. That person has peace. That person is not in confusion. That person is no longer up and down and up and down and up and down and in and out and in and out and in and out and on and off and on and off. Oh, Brother Baker, you shouldn't preach that way. You're describing my condition. That was all of our condition at one point. Amen? I'm telling you that there's a place where there's not up and down. There's a place where you're no longer in and out. There's a place where you're no longer on and off. There's a place where there is an eternal rest. There is a place that's unshakable. There's a place that's unmovable. There's a place where the hallelujahs roll. Whether there's food on the table or not, the hallelujahs roll. Whether the church is with you or not, the hallelujahs roll. Whether you're healed or not, the hallelujahs roll. Whether your family's serving the Lord or not, the hallelujahs roll. There's peace like a river. There's joy like a fountain. There's love like an ocean. There's everything that you have need of behind that veil. But you must come behind that veil, or this is just a story to you, and you have yet an intellectual conception. When you come behind that veil, friends, the storms of life can howl, and they will. Let the church go this way or that. Let this one go this way or that. The anchor holds. You think about a ship that's out in the sea. When a big storm comes, the ship will lay an anchor. Because it doesn't want to go following this and that and the other and be capsized, it'll put its anchor down. And if that anchor's in sand, well, it's going to get drug here or drug there. But if that anchor gets anchored in rock, let the seas howl. Let the wind roar. The ship will be tossed. The ship will move this way and that, but that anchor will hold. And we have but one anchor, friends, and that anchor is Christ. And the rock is Christ. We are anchored in Him. How many can say tonight the anchor holds? Though the ship is tattered, though the sails may be torn, the anchor holds. And there's healing for those sails. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Persecute them, friends, and they'll pray for you because the anchor holds. And any minister of the gospel knows, friends, that each person, they start out on their journey when they come to Christ and they eat of the very same manna as everybody else. And the desire of every pastor, of every minister, is to see that each and every one is directed all the way to go behind the veil. That's what they're speaking of, preaching, trying to get you to see, place that vision before you. But ministers cannot take you there. The pastor cannot take you there. We will preach the way, which the word is the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. We'll preach it. We'll stand by it. And we will encourage and we will testify of what we've found behind the veil. And we will edify by the word, and we will instruct by the word, and we will encourage by the word. But it's up to each and every one of us to choose how far we will go in Christ. And we know that the enemy has so many tactics, friends, so many tactics, but he's used them over and over and over. They're like a broken record. We ought to be able to identify him by now. He's used them over and over and over, and His goal is to try to sideline the believer from going all the way. And it weighs heavy on every minister and on every pastor when they see the enemy working on believers to try to sidetrack them, to try to stop them, to try to take them out of church, to try to bring up misunderstandings, to try to convince them that The pastor doesn't love them. The church doesn't love them. God doesn't love them. Ultimately, that's the enemy. The enemy brings confusion. The enemy will whisper in your ear and it'll be a different voice than what you're hearing from the word. That ought to be a clue. So one of the tactics of the devil, tried and true, is to cause you to doubt those that are sent to help you. And if you're still walking in justification or sanctification, the devil will work with your reasoning. The devil will work with your imagination, with your conscience, with your feelings, with your affections. He will work and try to cause you to doubt. Try to cause you to doubt the ministry. And when that happens, true pastors and ministers pray for you. A person might leave the church in a huff. They might leave and not even try to work things out because the devil's whispered something in their ear. And the minister will pray for you in love. Because they know what's happening. They know it's the devil. It's not a flesh and blood battle. It's the devil. And so knowing what the devil is doing to sidetrack and confuse that person, you want to see that person restored. And as long as we are following Christ with our intellect, friends, Satan can work on that very same intellect. Satan can bring doubt where there should be faith. Satan can bring imagination where there should be, thus saith the Lord. And until we are given a new spirit and a new heart, because you can be sanctified and not born again, until we are given a new spirit and a new heart, we can still be deceived. But if we continue to follow Christ, he will work through his ministry as he promised to, by his word, to lead you and to keep you along the way. It's Christ that's going to keep you. But if you stop, if you resist, well then how can he take you any further? If you decide to make your own way, if you decide to listen to your intellect and think that you know better than anybody else, how's God going to lead you? Because those that went before you were led, every single one of them. So those that fail to go all the way and to go behind the veil, they will be up, they will be down, they will be in, they will be out. And they will do things and then they will ask for forgiveness and they will repent, which is right. And they will be forgiven, which is right. But it just shows they haven't found that place of rest yet that's been provided where the anchor holds. Now, friends, it's just the truth. We just got to preach the truth, and we're preaching it in love. Come up higher. Now, this might not be for a single person here in the church. Maybe you know somebody that it might be a help to. But there is a place of rest. It's not imagined. It's not just special for some people. Oh, if I could just be like this one or be like that one. If you could just enter in behind the veil. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Listen to the title of this message. Why are people so tossed about? Page 16, paragraph 1. Did you ever meet a person that's been there and has tasted and is living on this manna? You can meet him on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Cloudy day, bright day, gloomy day. Things going right, things going wrong. He's always sweet. He's always full of love. Never talk or do anything wrong. He's living under the glory of God. He never gets hungry. He never has to go to church to get built up. Come on, church. People want to blame the church. You're behind the veil. You don't need the church to pump you up. He's just always full of God. People go to church and they'll shake your hand in the church and they'll laugh and calling you a brother. But outside the church, they'll put a little business deal that wouldn't be just exactly straight for the personal gain. I wouldn't say them people are here in the tabernacle. I'm not saying it here tonight either. But I say there is. There's things that people would do, and they get different. At least, and the least little thing will bring that old temper back again. If you haven't went in behind the veil, you haven't died out to yourself, that old nature is still there. That old temper will will come back again. That selfishness opened up to hear gossip or do something of that type. That person has never entered into this pot in here. Let it get quiet. Oh no. What is that saying about me? Friends, you can still enter in. They're outside. They're truly eating of the same kind of manna. They're hearing the same messages. They've been brought into the camp. And in the camp, in the field, is where the people got the manna. And they're in there. And the manna that they eat is the same manna that the man eats here behind the veil. They both have the same pastor. They both read the same Bible. But one constantly stays true and humble. And the other one's got ups and downs, a going like this and in and out. Both of them eating the same manna. But one of them has entered in and the other one is still out. You can get in though. Both of them are believers unto eternal life. But one is baptized in the Holy Spirit into the kingdom of God. The other one's outside eating the same manna. Come on, friends. Those that enter in behind the veil, friends, they live to feed daily on His word. Revelation means more to them than anything. It means more than a ski trip or a hunting trip or a shopping trip. It means more than anything. Come on. Let me stay up here long enough. I'll find out what means more to you. Come on, friends. It means more to you than anything to hear from His word, living word, and let Him quicken it to you. Let Him equip you. They are walking in His presence and they are at rest in their soul. And nothing can harm them and nothing can bother them. Come on, friends. There is a place. They are shut in with God in a secret place. They are hidden behind the veil. And some people will tell their pastor, how much they appreciate his stand. Let's say he takes a stand on the new birth. Before they leave the church, they'll say, I appreciate your stand on the new birth. And yet, strangely, they will stop short of the new birth. Come on. And they will have trouble at communion. And they will have people problems. And they will have church problems. Listen, we all were subject to that at one time. But we didn't stay where we were at. We came in behind the veil. Your problems go away. Because it's no longer any problem you have, it's His problem. You're in His hand. You're behind the veil. He's keeping you. His word is providing. And He's raising you up as a standard. He's raising you up to show the devil who's who and what's what. He's raising you up to defeat the devil in the most wicked of hours, the most wicked, the greatest people problems, the greatest mental problems, the greatest issue problems, the greatest sickness problems. He's raised you up to be His banner so He can take His word and thump that devil. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So they will have trouble at communion. They will have people problems. They will have church problems. And they will be up and down. And they will be upset when others don't want to wallow with them when they're down. Why would I want to wallow with you? Come up higher. Come on. And every true minister, friends, they can tell right quick what the problem is. The problem isn't that that person is a bad person. And things aren't being preached to make somebody out to be a bad person. No, there aren't any good people or bad people. The problem is that they don't believe every word, so they will not go all the way and experience what the minister is assuring them by the word is there behind the veil. Others, they will sit under a ministry that is off the word, and sometimes they'll get the pastor's spirit or get somebody else's spirit, and then something will happen to set them free from that. Isn't that wonderful? Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then they'll find a church, and they'll experience acceptance, and they'll experience love and care. But when the battles of life come, which they will, because what you go through has nothing to do, I changed churches, so that'll eliminate my battles. No, in some cases, it'll increase them. If you're standing on the word, you become a target. So they will begin to reason it out, and their intellectual faith will get shook, and before you know it, the devil tells them, you know what, your pastor is just like your old pastor. That's all in your mind. That's all in your thinking. And if you continue on with that thinking, you will end up not just giving up on your pastor or the church, you'll end up giving up on God altogether. Friends, we've seen this. It's tragic. It tears our heart out. But that's where that leads. Imagine you're in prison and you've been imprisoned. And something happens and now all of a sudden you're set free. Oh, hallelujah. And then you go somewhere else and you're happy in being free for a season. But then you relax. And, you know, maybe, in the prison, it was all, you didn't have any, everything was done for you, right? Don't do this, don't do that. It was all legalism, it was all laws, and you had no say-so. Now you're free, and now maybe you go too far the other way and think, well, there shouldn't be any laws. Don't get that thought in your mind. Just because you're set free to live right and to do right doesn't mean that you're not supposed to do that. Look, we could be legalist here. And we could just make everything rules and regulations. And we could make sure that we had a clean on the outside group of people. But where's the growth in that? You're doing it out of fear once again. Well, if I don't, we're not your Holy Spirit. He wants to be your Holy Spirit. But the only way he can help you is for you to get behind that veil. You got to get behind the veil so he can write his laws upon your heart. So he can talk to you. So he can lead you and guide you. So he can speak to you and you'll recognize, you know what? That voice I'm hearing from the pulpit, that's the same voice I'm hearing behind the veil. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So as soon as you get discouraged, then the devil will start to tell you, you know what? You're in a new prison now. You've been set free, but you don't know it. Or maybe you forgot that you've been set free. And before the long, the devil's actually put you back in jail. Not the church. But he's put you back in jail. And the minister that sees this is praying for you. And is following the leadership of the Lord to bring the word that's needed to set you free and put you back on the right path. But if you take that as you being picked on, how can you be helped? So it's up to each and every one of us to go further. Nobody can do it for us. Again, in another fine titled message, The Impersonation of Christianity. Brother Branham says, he used to come down, he was a pool shark, and he could play cards and a hand of this, and he could rake the chips from here and so forth, and but he don't do it no more. The main, he's a holy roller, but the yoke is easy. You know what to do with it? You just like to bear it. It's just like Samson when he took the brazen gates of Gaza, the big brass gates. He just picked them up on his shoulders and bore it away. That's right. And when the yoke is lined with a joy and peace and the sweetness of Christ in your heart, then you just pick up all the burdens the world can cast on you and you bear them to a certain hill called Calvary. And there you kneel down and pray for that one that was persecuting you, not rain fire out of heaven and tear up the church. But you pray peace. You bring peace to them. God, be merciful to them. Now, that's the person that's been behind the veil. If you haven't been behind the veil, you don't even realize what's going on. Again, another fine title here tonight. Why is it that so many Christians find it so hard to live a Christian life? I think that's probably... Is that a record for the length of a title? Why is it that so many Christians find it so hard to live the Christian life? That's an oxymoron. That's a contradiction of terms. How can you be a Christian and find it hard to live a Christian life? Because you're an intellectual Christian. And before you feel like you're being picked on tonight, because I don't know who this might be for, it might not be for anybody here. It might be for somebody that you're going to witness to. But before you get to feeling picked on, it's the truth that sets you free. If you don't know that you're yet intellectual and that there's something more, how can you go further? Somebody has to tell you, keep going. Come up higher. He says, now what happens when the old spirit is gone out of a man? The Bible said the devil is gone out of the man. He walks in dry places and comes back to find the house all swept out. You know what happens? You once lived, listen to this. You once lived in old tin can alley. That's right. Where all the devils and rats and everything else lived. Fusses and fights and stews and arguments. Notice he said you once lived there. But when the Holy Spirit comes in, he can't live in a place like that. That's the reason people today, they can shout, they can scream, they can go on, but live any kind of life afterwards. The Holy Spirit, when it moves in, it takes God's big bulldozer and it comes down and digs that old alley up and throws the dirt out, buries it in the sea of forgetfulness, and terraces off a nice big place and puts a great big mansion, and he lives there. And the flowers of love and of joy and of peace and long-suffering and goodness and mercies and kindness and faith is blooming around this house. Oh, it smells so good to go visit that house because the aromas are so sweet. It's not trash. It's not. There's no dead rats. Come on, friends. When the Holy Spirit moves in, the tin cans, rats, lies, backbiting, selfishness, indifference with other Christians, they all move out. They can't stand it, friends. And if you've still got them, it shows the Holy Spirit has never terraced out your life yet. The bulldozer hasn't made its way because you said no. Come on, friends. He says, amen, get rid of your rats. Amen, Brother Branham. Good preaching. The Holy Ghost takes away them differences. It makes you full of love and joy and peace. Look at the flowers blooming around. Satan just can't step his dirty foot on there, for your life is dead. And you are hid in God through Christ, sealed by the Holy Ghost. Then what comes forth? Why, the Holy Spirit's living there? These flowers just actually accompany the Holy Spirit. Now, you can't go and get some of these artificial flowers and set them out in the yard because they haven't got any life in them. And you say, well, I joined the church. I guess I'm just going to have to be this way, you miserable wretch. How do you really feel, Brother Branham? This is love. But when the Holy Ghost is there, it just automatically loves. You don't have to try to do it. You do it. It just automatically loves. Oh, I could pull every hair in her head. That old oneness, that old Trinity, that old this, that, or the other. Oh, I wouldn't speak to her. I'll go down to that meeting. Why? Oh, you old Pharisee. A Pharisee means an actor. You're only trying to act religious. And if you had the real Holy Ghost in there, he'd put love in your heart for every man that believed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pharisee means actor. You're trying to act something that you're not. You got an artificial flower. Your house is made out of pasteboard and rats has eaten it up. That's right. The Holy Ghost runs the church. The Holy Ghost is the love of God. And the church says, so friends, any true minister will preach the word in season to bring to the believer what is needed by the unction of the Holy Spirit. And they will bring the full counsel of God. They won't hold anything back. They'll let the chips fall wherever they may. They won't preach for friend or favor. They won't spare anybody in love. Why? Because they can see the enemy working And they know the enemy's tactics. And they know what the church needs in those kind of times. They know what word to bring in that season. But when somebody leaves and doesn't try to work things out and then come against the church, what's the ministry to do then? You got to protect the church. You still pray for that person. You still hold out for that person. But if there's no working anything out, well, then you got to circle the wagons. Well, you're just like all the rest. But a person that believes that, they need to know that there is a true ministry on the earth. That is staying with the word. And just as sure as you know that you're behind the veil, you're just sure you've got the right pastor and you're in the right church. Your imagination can't work on you. Reasoning can't work on you because faith down in the soul said, this is where I placed you. Come on. The devil can't get in there to convince you otherwise. He's sealed out. You're sealed in. Your orders are coming from Christ. Listen to this from the Message adoption. He says, now all these things has been brought, coming, shaping up to a headstone, the manifestation of the sons of God coming back, and the Spirit of God coming into these men so perfectly until their ministry will be so close like Christ till it'll join him and the church together. Let me just flatten you tonight, if it's possible. If it is possible, you need to be flattened. This ministry here tonight is greater than Moses' ministry. Because Moses didn't bring you here. Moses didn't keep the full word. Moses smote the rock when he was supposed to speak to it. Well, he was under the blood of bulls and goats. Right? He didn't have that life living behind the veil. He went behind the veil to talk to that life. He was used in a particular way. We're not discounting that in any way, shape, or form. But this ministry is greater than that. Message perseverant. He says, the church will be honed in such a condition until the church's ministry will be so close and be just exactly the same kind of ministry that Jesus had to make it all fit together for the rapture. Now, do we still believe the message? Is that what he said? Then there has to be a ministry somewhere. And there is. It's all over the earth. Again, take on the whole armor of God. Why is it so? Them rocks laying up there hundreds of tons. He's talking about the pyramid and how just tons and tons in each one of these rocks. And there are, there's a million stones maybe that makes up that pyramid. And he says, laying up there, and it's so close together without mortar that you can run a razor blade between them. Or you can't run a razor blade between them. And when the headstone comes, Christ comes to his temple, and it'll have to fit perfect like the rest of it. And the ministry of the Pentecostal church will have to get so perfect till it'll fit right in with the same ministry that he had here. So he's showing us it'll have to be a Pentecostal type ministry. Not denomination, not organization, but by experience. Which will take the whole thing in the rapture, being the church, right? And the church says. So friends, there is a place. There's a place of rest tonight. There's a place when everything's coming against you and you get down on your knees and you go to prayer. There's a place where you can find intercession. There's a place where you can find peace. There's a place where you can find advice. There's a place where you can be counseled. There's a place where you can be led. There's a place where your complexes can be pointed out to you. And you can say, Lord, I lay them down. Help me, Lord. Help me to just take people at their word and help me to quit imagining things. Help me quit basing my present life on what happened to me before. But to recognize this is a new day. And to be trusting. To not be skeptical, but to be trusting. To put my trust in you. God, confirm your word in my life. God, make your word live. Make it real. Give me that peace that passes all understanding. Give me that kind of a life that's steady. Give me that kind of a life where I can be a help to others instead of asking others to be a help to me. Give me that kind of life where I can forgive. And not just forgive because the Bible says so, but I forgive because there's a life in me that it'll drive me, it'll chafe at me unless I do that. Put that kind of life in me that'll intercede for my brother or sister. Put that kind of life in me that'll sigh and cry for the sins that are done in the city. Put that kind of a life that'll enter in to the sufferings of the rest of the body. Put that kind of life in me that will live for others. That will put others first. Put that kind of life in me that's behind the veil. That's hidden. Friends, if you're hidden behind the veil tonight, there's nobody there. I can't come up to Brother Henry and say, Brother Henry, great, we're both behind the veil. Isn't this wonderful? I don't know if he's behind the veil or not. I'm believing that he is. But I don't know. The only one that I know tonight, and excuse me if this bothers you, there's still an altar if it does. I'm the only one that knows whether or not I'm behind the veil. But if you went behind the veil, you're hearing the same voice. So you got a pretty good idea of where that other person is in Christ. But you can't know where somebody is. Amen? He gave you a new name. A stone, a revelation with a new name that nobody knows but you. But only you need to know that. And who's behind the veil? There's nobody else there. The church isn't there. The pastor isn't there. Your neighbor's not there. Jehovah's there. The pillar of fire is there. His presence is there. And friends, where his presence is peace. Where his presence is joy. Where his presence is love, hope. Come on. Whatever we have need of is in his presence. You can't hear all the politics and fuss. Why do we want to share all the rotten stuff that's going on in the world and get indignant about it? Just get hid in him. All that's going on out there is of the devil anyway. And they can only go so far. He's appointed their boundaries. He's told them how far. The only power they have is what he's given them. And they're working out his plan. The devil's not getting over. Don't go and try and change that. Just get behind the veil. Just make sure that you enter in to his presence. Just make sure that you taste of that hidden manna yourself. You come behind the veil, friends, revelation will flow. And it'll mean more to you than anything because it's him and you. And he's proved it to you, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. It's time we preach it like it is. And we're willing to wait, friends. We're willing to wait for the last one to come in. But don't dilly-dally. It's dangerous to be in a Holy Ghost-filled church and dilly-dally. Because the devil, you'll rot twice as fast where there's living water. If it's a dry, dead old church, you can stay out in the desert. If it don't rain out here in the desert, you can stay out there quite a while. That's why they have these big boneyards for airplanes and so forth. Because, you know, they can leave them out there on the tarmac and they say, well, you know, we can get it ready in a couple hours and it'll be ready to go to war again. Right? Put it in some swampy place. Put it someplace where it's humid. It'll disintegrate. If you ever been up in the north, one of the things that you notice about cars is that sometimes the bottom just falls out. If you're going to buy a used car, you inspect that car. And a lot of times you'll find cancer. You'll find that it's rusted here, rusted there, rusted here. Right? It's because here we have no continuing city. It's just falling apart. Just so you get into a Holy Ghost-filled church, Satan will work on you twice as hard if you decide to coast. Now's the time to come. Now's the time to make your choice. Now's the time to make your decision. Now's the time to say, you know what? I'm going all the way. I'm not just going to have Mike have us sing it over and over, and Brother Andy and Brother Luke and what have you. I'm not just going to sing that song. I'm going to do it. I have decided to follow Jesus. Friends, he will lead you. He'll speak to you through the ministry. He'll speak to you through your word. He'll speak to you in prayer. He will lead you and guide you. But if you stop, the devil will be there to lead you. And he's deceiving, and you're no match for him. I hate Brother Oscar Mark. I hate how the devil will pull people from the church and make them turn against the very thing that God sent to help them. And it won't even give you an opportunity sometimes to talk it over. You were the best kept secret in Tucson until you weren't. You were, God sent me here until you weren't. You were, wow, God is really using you and there's an anointing and I hear God speak until you weren't. And the zeal that you could have for what God gave you can turn into hatred that's just as zealous. And it's nothing but the devil lying to you. You don't believe there's the ability here to discern this? There better be. If we can't see the devil and his tactics, we can see it. And it's not, we're not even, we don't have to even try. It's the same old stuff. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Come to our Bible study. You'll discern the two spirits in the church. And you'll withstand that Antichrist spirit. And love your brother and your sister. But recognize that ain't nothing but the devil trying to sidetrack us. That ain't nothing but the devil working on somebody's emotions. Working on somebody's feelings. You'll stand in the gap. You'll pray. But ultimately, they've got to take that step. Don't dilly-dally. Make your decision and move. And realize being forgiven of your sins is not the end. Having God clean you up, that's not the end. It's all part of it, but it's not the end. Dying out to yourself, that's still not the end. Because the next thing that must take place is he must come in to dwell in you. To make his abode. To hide you in him and him in you. This isn't just for some people. In fact, I'm trying to close here in just a moment, but Brother Branham, in preaching this message, why is it so hard for people to, Christians to live the Christian life? He said the problem is that the church is approaching this intellectually, yet they're eating the same food. And he was very careful to say, I'm not calling them unbelievers. They are believers. But it's intellectual. And that will only take you so far. But why not go all the way? Why not say, you know what, I don't understand this, and I don't understand that, and I'm not getting out of this what this one is, and I'm not happy like that one. Why not... Instead of stopping there, why not say, God, give me what I'm seeing. It's the tender hand of Jehovah that we can even see it in other people. Until this message came across my path, I couldn't see it. I couldn't see it being lived out anywhere else. I couldn't see the true Christ of the Bible doing what he said he would do. First message I listened to, I saw it. I saw it. I didn't have to have somebody say, well, you know, you need to believe this a little bit more. And in fact, there were thoughts, Brother Juan, that came into my mind. Well, you know, don't jump to conclusions here. The problem is we think with our mind, we believe with our heart. Something down here started to stir. Something down here said, you know what, that sounds right. Something down here started to say, you know what, I may not be able to explain this, but I know somehow this is true. Amen. This is genuine. This is real. I'm sick of the impersonation. I'm sick of people trying to do it. I'm sick of Pharisee religion. I'm sick of put on. I want the real. But I had to see it on display. I had to hear it. I had to hear, you know I'm waiting on somebody. You know I can't do it in myself. I had to hear somebody tell on himself and say, all glory goes to him. I had to have somebody say, you know what, if this is what I'm preaching is true, let him back it up. I had to have somebody show me the Jesus of the Bible. I'm not talking about a word, I'm talking about a life. Of course, his words are life, but there had to be a vindication. I'm hooked now, friends. When I saw that, I didn't have it, but I wanted it. And I put that before me, friends. I said, God, I'll do whatever I have to. I'll quit wearing these worldly hairdos. I'll quit wearing skinny jeans. Now, they didn't have these things, but they had other things. Listen, that's you trying to hold on to the world. You can't hold on to the world and go behind the veil. The world will not enter in behind that veil. Oh, but it's satisfying. We were lived under such legalism, and now I'm free. Free to live like the world? Is that what you wanted? You want to be free to live like a devil? Or do you want to be free to live like a Christian? Come on, friends. There's nobody stopping you here tonight. There's nobody holding you back. If any of you leave and say, you know, it's the church's fault, I didn't go on. It is nobody's fault but yours. Every opportunity is extended to you. Nobody's checking to see if you paid your tithes. Nobody's standing at the altar saying, you know what, you didn't pray up and so you can't take communion. Come on. Nobody's telling you to pray up before you come to church. Nobody's telling you how to stand, how to sit, whether to cross your legs or not, whether to talk in the bathroom. Nobody's telling you none of that. He wants to. He wants to be your guide. You have liberty here. You got a Holy Ghost filled church. And there are people all over the building that are behind the veil tonight. And they are loving. Friends, God has showed me our best times are coming. We're walking into something that's greater and higher. The Lord has shown me in His Word. He showed us in dreams. He showed it in dreams for others of you. And we've got a liberty here. There are hindrances that have been taken out of the way. We've been long suffering. Amen. But it's time to move on. It's time to unleash. God bless you, brother. It's time to let go and let God. Do you believe in a living God? Do you believe He's true? He's alive? Amen. Wonderful. What a nice... There's family right here. Praise the Lord. Amen. And he believes in God. Listen, friends, he wants to be a personal Christ tonight. If anybody here has a testimony that everybody is envious of, he wants that to be your testimony and more. He wants to be a personal Christ. He wants to be the one that provides when your checkbook bounces. He wants to be the one that heals you when the doctor says you got cancer and there's no way you can make it. He wants to be the one that has the last answer. He wants to be the one, friends, that does what no one else can do. And what better way for him to show himself than in a situation that looks impossible? When you are at your lowest, when people have turned against you, when your family's given up on you, when this is happening, that happens, he wants to be your portion. He wants to be your sanity. He wants to be able to take you and love you to the place where he can lift you up above that. Where you don't walk away as damaged goods and hurt feelings, but you walk away instead praying. And you say, God, give them what I got.
Hallelujah.
Hear my prayer, O Lord, and you know he's going to hear your prayer. Hallelujah. You know he's going to answer your prayer.
Amen.
You're not afraid. Come on, friends.
Amen.
It's settled.
Amen.
You're hid behind the veil.
Amen.
You're hid in God in a secret place.
Amen.
He's placed his laws. He's wrote them upon your heart. Took away your stony heart and gave you a heart of flesh. Amen.
Amen.
Now it's not, well, so-and-so did this, so I got to do it. No, you got to do whatever he leads you to do.
Amen.
And he will lead you.
Yes.
Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Who wants to take it higher?
Amen.
Who wants to see the God, the Jesus of the Bible,
Hallelujah.
Living
Amen.
In his church? Who wants to see loved ones come in?
Hallelujah.
Who wants to see the backslider restored?
Amen.
Who wants to see sinners come to know the same Jesus as you? Who wants to see deliverance, healing, peace? Anxiousness gone. Anxiety out the door. Who wants to live on the hallelujah side? Who wants to, oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's stand tonight, friends. That's the God we serve tonight. We don't have to take a back seat to the devil. Friends, you don't have time for negativity. You don't have time for discouragement. You don't have time for doubts. If somebody comes to you with doubt, say, you know what, let's go talk to the deacon. Let's go talk to the pastor. Let's go talk to the minister. Let's go talk to the sister or the brother. I'm sure you must have misunderstood. Because they're here for the same thing. They would see Jesus. They're here to see a church on fire, like a house on fire on a windy day. They're here to see Jesus Christ have preeminence in a body. They're here to see God perform his word. Just like you, that's your brother, that's your sister. Amen. Let's just go talk it out. Let's have the same confidence that the same one that's in you is in your brother or your sister. Come on, friends. The world can do that. How about the Church of the Living God? I know this can be cutting sometimes, but I hope you see that the motive is right. The objective is right. The easiest thing to do would be to stand up here and tell you you're all just swell and fine and hallelujah. Right? And maybe you are. Like I said, I don't know. Maybe it isn't for anybody in the building. I kind of doubt it because the Lord puts something on your heart. Amen? If only to reaffirm what you already know. If only to remind you. Well, then why do the trials come? Well, the trials come to cause your roots to grow down deeper.
Amen.
The trials come to put stress on that tree.
Right.
And then the roots go down deeper.
Right.
And you're more firmly established.
Amen.
You're more convinced.
Amen.
It becomes more automatic.
Amen.
Don't let the devil, don't you dare go out of the building tonight with a discouraged spirit.
Amen.
This is deliverance.
Amen.
This is healing. This has come up higher. Well, I've been here before and I never. Tonight's different. Tonight's different. The word's gone forth. You take God at his word, I promise you. He'll perform it. If you'll just take him at his word, I promise you tonight, friends, you'll leave here different. Don't listen to tattling tongues and discouragement. Don't look at shipwrecks. Pray for one another. But go on. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You realize a church can be filled with Holy Ghost believers and have enough just church goers that it can hold the church back.
Yeah.
Well, it's time to get on board.
Yeah.
I don't think people want to hold the church back. They just need a little kick in the pants or the skirt. They just need a reminder. They just need a gospel protoplasmic stimulation. They just need a reminder. You know what? Come up here. Go further. There's more. Friends, if we can't say, this is the greatest time of my life, we're backslid. From the pulpit to the back door. If you're trying to live off of last year's experience, last week's experience, 20 years ago experience, you're backslid. Because there's experience after experience to have behind the veil in His presence. We overcome by the word of our testimony. Not one testimony. Well, I have one testimony. You have a testimony every day. If you're feeding on that manna, that word will be tested. And you will have a testimony. Hallelujah. Help us tonight, Lord. Let's bow our heads. Father, we're just so thankful for your faithful word, Lord. We're thankful for your spiritual food in due season. We're thankful, Lord, that by the foolishness of preaching, Father, that you're able to send gifts down to the earth. You're able to operate those gifts when they're surrendered to you, Lord. And you're able to speak to your people. And Lord, by the very same Spirit, you're able to confirm that in the heart of the hearer and the believer. And you're able to take us, Lord, all the way. Father, we know that this isn't just for some people. We know that every son or daughter of God has to come the same way. And Lord, it doesn't matter how bent up we were by the world, how confused we were, what we were steeped in, what our DNA is. Tonight, the devil would tell us, well, you've got this DNA issue or that. It has nothing to do with that. What a greater testimony for you to take something that the devil has messed up and for you to have a great victory in it. You're more than able, Lord. We won't say that you can't. We won't doubt you. We won't limit you. Instead, we'll say, Lord, I believe. Be it unto me according to thy word. Father, I believe that you have great plans for each and every one. I believe that you have a great purpose for each and every one. I believe there's a great reward waiting on the other side. We're not focused on that tonight, but I believe it. I believe, Lord, that there are blessings in this life as well as the life to come. I believe that there's a life that's more full, many times more full than anything the world has to offer. The world can't even come close. Christianity, churchianity, I should say, can't come close. It has its benefits. There's, if we take an intellectual approach, there's rewards that are promised. It's still a better life. But Lord, we want to go all the way. We want everything that you have. We don't want to shirk. We want to believe every word. Father, we pray that you would help those that are discouraged. Lord, that you'd send your spirit out after those that are, Lord, the enemy has played with their minds, their imaginations, their reasoning, somehow convinced them that this isn't a true church or a true pastor. We don't have that true love. And to send them out with that kind of a testimony. God, that you never do things like that. You would never whisper something like that in somebody's ear. Everything you do is to lift us up. Everything you do is to encourage us, to strengthen us. Everything you do is to confirm your word in our midst. And Lord, even if it was true that the whole church did this or that, you promised to be our portion. We'll not be disillusioned and moping and searching here and there. If we've come behind that veil, come what may, nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. I pray that you minister to every heart, Lord. Father, I pray that you go after every backslider, that you send your spirit out, send your angels, Lord. Father, if there's possibilities of doors being opened to restore that, you are a restoring God. That is your desire, and that's the desire of every son or daughter of God that's born again of your spirit. This is a ministry of reconciliation. It's not a ministry of division. It's the devil that brings division. It's the devil that will try and split a church. It's the devil that will try to bring doubt and fuss and stews, and turn one against another. But this is a ministry of reconciliation. We should expect the devil to come and try and do these things. But we should also expect for you to raise up a standard. Because the devil will not get over, and he will not stop the church of the living God. He will not stop your work. He will not keep your word from going forth. He will not withstand the true church when the true church recognizes that Antichrist spirit and withstands it. Father, I pray that you bless each and every one. I pray that we would all be challenged, Lord. Myself especially, Lord. I'm always looking for a greater challenge from you, Lord. There's something in me that wants to go higher. And the reason that's in me is because there is a higher height. I don't believe that we plateaued, Lord, as a body. The body that's on the earth, I believe it's onward and upward and higher. Lord, I'm longing to see that true church, Lord, that's come together and is walking so closely together that you can't get a razor blade in between them. That's so filled with the Holy Ghost that sin can't come in through the door. That sin will be exposed. Not to condemn someone, but to expose that sin. Lord, we're a place that is so filled with your spirit that the enemy would be the strange one to come in. The oddball wouldn't be the person that's in love with you, shouts and sings and testifies and lives a separate life, a holy life, a life that's dedicated to you. Lord, the enemy can offer us so many things to try to sidetrack us. But Lord, once we come in behind the veil, the world has lost all of its allure. The nature that's within inside of us doesn't desire the world any longer. The voice that we're hearing behind the veil, it satisfies. And we're confident tonight, Lord, that it's your voice. It's none other than your voice, the Christ of all the ages. Shut our ears, Lord, to the world. Shut our ears to gossip and discouragement and stories. Open our ears to truth. May truth prevail. May we overcome by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Bless each and every one. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If there's anyone here tonight that hasn't come in behind that veil yet, you know that. If you haven't entered in behind that veil, you've been given a promise. But to come behind that veil, you've got to set everything aside. You've got to commit yourselves completely into His hands. You've got to trust Him. And you've got to be willing to lay down this life of death that we came into this world living, hating this life and desiring a more abundant life that's in Christ. If that's you tonight and you want to be remembered in prayer, why don't you lift your hand? Not to show anything to anybody, but just to just to step out and say, God, I want to go further. I know that there's more for me. I know, Lord, that I don't have to be up and down and in and out. I know that there's an anchor that holds. I've heard about it and heard about it. I see it in other people's lives. I've wondered if it's maybe because they've got a different makeup or whatever. But I realize by your word, Lord, it's not them. It's not by might, not by power, but by your spirit, saith the Lord. They've come in behind the veil where the hallelujahs roll. If that's you tonight, you want to be remembered in prayer, just slip your hand up in the building. Father, you see these hands that are lifted up. You know the heart that's behind the hand. Father, if it was just for these tonight, I believe with all my heart you would have ministered this just for these. But Lord, I believe that it's more, it's for more than just these. But I thank you, Lord, for these hands that went up. And Lord, I pray that your word would just become so real Father, that they would just look to you and say, God, make it real to me. Prove your word to me, Lord. Confirm your word to me. Take me behind the veil. Show me the way. Take me behind those badger skins into the Shekinah presence. I believe you. I trust you. And I'm waiting, Lord, for you to lead me behind the veil. Father, I believe that you're going to do that. I believe that you'll bankrupt heaven before you're not trying to keep anybody from it. In the garden, when man fell, you put cherubims, mighty supernatural beings there to protect the way to that tree. No one could come past those flaming swords. Now the opposite is true. Those very same flaming swords are driving us to that tree of life. But Lord, what would we settle for? What would we choose to be satisfied by rather than going all the way to that tree? I pray, Lord, that everyone makes that choice. Lord, that's something that nobody can do. Mom and Dad can't do it for us, the church, the pastor. We don't need some other prayer. We just need to make up our minds, settle it in our hearts, make that choice, and then take you at your word. Confess your word, believe it, and be in expectation. I wonder how many tonight would say, you know, I have come behind the veil, there's no doubt. But life has been a little bit of a challenge, and perhaps I've allowed other things to distract me. The things that have distracted me are not encouraging. So rather than feasting behind the veil like I once did, I find myself just trying to fit God in here and there. Maybe I don't have the same expectation that I once had, but I want to rekindle that desire in my heart. I want to get behind the veil where the hallelujahs roll, and I want to spend time there every day. I want him to be my joy, my strength. I don't want to look at church as if church is either the solution or the problem, or the pastor is the solution or the problem, or other people. Christ is the solution to all my problems. Lord, stir it up. Bring a revival in my heart. Let the hallelujahs roll. If that's you tonight, why don't you just lift your hands up to him? Father, you see the hands all over the building. Father, I know there's more for each and every one of us. But Lord, you're a gentleman. You don't force yourself in any place or way, but you're looking for a people to surrender, to make the right choice, the harder choice, but the right choice. And a great portion awaits because of those momentous decisions. To say, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, bless each and every hand, every heart, each and every one, Lord, that's raised their hand tonight. Father, take them into the greater heights. May we surrender to you in a greater measure. May we see Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, living amongst us. Grant it tonight, Lord. Bless each and every one. Bless our church. Bless the Lord. Go send your angels after the backslider, Lord. Send your angels out after those that have the devil has twisted their minds around and brought discouragement. Bring them back, Lord. Grant it tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. We give you honor. We give you glory. And we're in great expectation, Lord. Every time we come together, not just some workup, but a real, genuine, Holy Ghost-filled hallelujah time. Worship in spirit and truth. Bless each and every one now. We give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hallelujah. Nothing else can take to feel the warmth of your yes, Lord, no one else, no one else will do. help me find the way.